Yeah. You're going to have to come back and repeat that on the 27th, guys. That's good Thanksgiving from the heart. Well, let's take it to the Lord in prayer, and we'll make a transition. Father, before we look into your word, God, I want to say thank you so much that you speak to us directly through your words. This is just not a man's book, but it's your words to us. And speak to my heart and the hearts of my friends. But I'd like to say thank you for Martin and Sandy and blessing them. Thank you for our worship teams. Continue to fill them, keep them close to you, and use them. And we look forward to December the 4th as being a day, as we said, that can pass us on to others, blessed to be a blessing. And so we thank you for our worship team and continue to move now as we turn our attention to your words. In Christ's name, amen. Well, after yesterday's barbecue, I think it's time for a salad today, guys. I don't know about you, but I got my full share of my weekly allowance for meat yesterday. But green salads are pretty good. How many of you like salads? Some people say, I'm sick of them. That's all I've been eating. I'm trying to lose weight, you know. But I like green salads. And, of course, the foundation for green salads is lettuce. It's greens, right? And here's a slide of 23 varieties. I'm not a big fan of the dandelion greens. They're not mine. But you know, most of those we enjoy and we can even have here in Hong Kong to eat. When you go to buy them, of course, you can go into certain supermarkets and you'll see them displayed in plastics. I'm not quite sure that's the best way to do it. I'd rather buy them from an open-air market. And where Bonnie and I like to go, and perhaps some of you, I know I've seen some DB people, is over on Gage Street. How many of you know where Gage Street is? You've been there? Okay. And you go walk on down, and you get your veggies out fresh. And we think it's value for money, so whenever we go to Hong Kong side, we take our shopping cart and go do a little salad shopping. Okay. There we go. So today I'm going to be talking about lettuce for disciples. All right. Now, this is just a hook, just to kind of, because I'm going to be talking about this thing. Let us. Okay. It's kind of corny, huh? Okay. How many of us are us? Okay. We're the us's, all right? We're us, all right? What were we just singing? We had a let us. Let us. Us. There was in one of these songs. It's coming over and over again. Us, us, us. Us. Let us, okay? Us. It's a collective, all right? So we're going to look at lettuce for disciples. And already in the book of Hebrews, we have had, got a little truncated there, but it says, let us strive to enter that rest. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us draw near to the throne of grace. Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. And these are basically verses from Hebrews 4 and also the last one is 6:1. The elementary doctrine of Christ took us to the doctrine of Christ as high priest and as where we were in that. And we'll come back to that. It's yes, we know Jesus was born of a virgin, died, crucified, raised again from the dead, and sitting on high. But we need to understand what is he doing in the heavenlies right now for us. And that's where what he means by that. We hold on to the foundations, but we need to go beyond, and that's what we've been our focus. So today we're going to look at lettuce verses in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. But before we get there, you know I like to do just remind us where we are in the context of the book of Hebrews. Now some of us here today haven't been in this series, but just again a reminder that the doctrine of Hebrews, the teaching of Hebrews, is that Christ is God's greatest message. We don't need any further revelation from God on how to live or how to relate to him in this day and age. In these last days, the days post Christ till he returns again, we don't need any other advice on how to be people, how to love God or how to love each other. And he's God's greatest messenger. He's greater than angels. People have encounters with angels. I believe they're true. And I think angels can also be Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. But even what an angel says, you know, if it's contrast to the gospel that's in Christ Jesus, never listen to that angel. We don't need an angel. We have the very Son of God who took upon himself human flesh and in whom exists all the glory of the triune God, full of grace and full of truth. We don't need to listen to another messenger. And therefore, he's Christ's greatest prophet, telling us this is the way to live. As Moses helped and lead the people of God, Jesus is greater than Moses. And he's the greatest high priest. And that's been our focus for the last several weeks. And as our high priest, this is a reduction, if you will, from six chapters almost. Chapter 4, verse 14 through 10, 18. Our high priest serves in the most holy place in heaven and mediates a better covenant by offering a better sacrifice, which is himself, and therefore we are holy. So we've got the encouraging message of the gospel that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died. And so therefore repent and believe. That's our responsibility, to repent and believe. And then we become born again people. But as you're born again, what is Christ doing for you and me? We have a high priest who's working and praying and mediating the new covenant where the word of God is put in our minds and in our heart. It's written there. That's what he's doing for you and I. And be encouraged that we have a high priest. He continually pleads his blood on our behalf. He continually does that on our behalf. Well, how shall we live? How shall we then live? Well, okay, scrambled. This is a translation from PowerPoint to Keynote, and it's a mix-up there. But what we're looking at, the doctrine, is the Hebrews 1 through 10, 18, so it's 9.5 chapters dealing with the doctrine, and the other bit of the book talks about life. And normally that's the pattern that the epistles or the books to the churches will show us. Here is the doctrine, here's the truth about who Christ is, all we have in him, the riches we have in him, and now here's the way to live. And that's basically what you've been on the edge of your seats, you know, waiting, well, when's it going to come to get to the to what we're supposed to do? And I recently preached a sermon on true greatness, and I was encouraging us as parents to encourage our kids to be servants. Jesus said, you know, if you want to be great, do what? You got to be servant. And so how do we model servanthood in the family and the community and the church, et cetera, is very important, because this is what greatness is, not money-making, not accomplishment of awards from the society, but no, it's true greatness is serving. And when I preached that sermon, everybody said, wow, that was pretty good. You know, that's what I've been looking for. I can put a hook into it. Well, with what I want you to put a hook into is, because you have a high priest, now this is the way to live. But you've got to come to grips that you have a high priest. I have a high priest. And don't think that Jesus is removed. He is active in your sanctification, in your becoming more like Jesus himself on this planet. Hold on to that, okay? It's very, very important. So from that, now the author is going to say, okay, here's how you got to live. So that's where we're getting today. We live according to what we believe. So doctrine impacts how I live. If I've got this high priest who loves me, gave his life for me, and continually pray for me, how can I do life without him and serve him? Okay, we live according to what we believe, and that's where we're at. We're going to look at the lettuce here in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, a good word, therefore. Whenever you hit that in Scripture, we've had arguments, reason, logic, and then therefore it's going to lead to a conclusion you can make about something or an action you should take. The body needs calcium. Milk is a good source of calcium. Therefore, I drink milk. Okay? Therefore, I drink milk. I can buy fresh California milk and park and shop $30 less than I can at Welcome. Therefore, I'm going to park and shop to buy my milk. See. So anytime you hit a therefore in the Bible, just you're coming up to, here's been the logic, the reasoning, and therefore this should be your action or your conclusion. So I think most of us know that, but I thought that's kind of Good reminder. So the first lettuce we're gonna eat today is called draw near to God. Well, this is a repeat of one that's already been said in Hebrews 4:16. So we're gonna look at that. Let's unpack this lettuce and see what it looks like. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places, some version, if you have the New International Version, it calls it the most holy place. Others refer to it as, in the Old King James and the New King James also call it the holiest. I think either interpretation of the Greek here is okay. It's not confusing. We're going into this room, if you will. President-elect Donald Trump got to go to the White House and sit with President Obama. He had that privilege to go in, right? And he went into there with confidence, because why? He's the president-elect, and it's got the thing you got to do, you know, as the president. Invite the president-elect to sit down with you. Well, whether that's in the Oval Office or in a different room at the White House, it matters not. But what we're getting at is that you and I can with confidence go in to the very presence of the God Most High, the Creator, the Savior. So we go in with confidence by the blood of Jesus, okay? You want to get into the residence club or the Siena club. If you're a member, you have a little card, you put it on there, you know, and the door unlocks and you go in, right? Used to it wasn't that way. You could just walk right in, right? As long as the guard let you in. But the guard had to let you in, right? You had to get in somehow to get permission. Well, the only thing that gets me close to God, that I can draw near to Him, get close to Him, is what? The blood of Christ. And further it says, by the new and living way. This is referring to that He opened for us through the curtain that is through His flesh. Remember in the old covenant, in the old temple, there was the Holy of Holies was separated by a curtain, and only the high priest could go in there one day a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. And now that it's opened up. There's an open and living way. It's because of Christ's body that was given for you, His blood that was shed for you, that we can now go right inside. There's no locked door, because we're going through this Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And since we have a great high priest, a great priest over the house of God, I was reading a novel last night, and it was describing how a detective was able to go into the White House and then meet with the First Lady to discuss the president's children had been kidnapped. and so it's how he goes through one loop after one loop of security to get to her presence. See, the high priest is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's made it open and says, okay, come on in through, you pass security, you know, come on in, come on. You're holy enough because of what? My blood and my flesh that has been given for you. And come on in. Come on in. And that gets us to the lettuce. You and I. Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Okay, now I'm coming, Lord, because, you know, I have been a great husband. I'm coming, Lord, because I'm a model father. That's not the faith. I'm coming to you, Lord, now because I've confessed up all my stuff, all my sin. You know, no, my faith is in you alone, Lord Jesus, and because of that, I'm coming near. I've got this full assurance of faith that because I'm not perfect, but I can bring to you my sin and we can talk about it, and that's how I'm coming. Drawing near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. God does not turn away any person who will turn to Him. He's not willing that any person should perish. And I don't know how black your past was. Some of us have really black ones. Some of us are not so black. Not as messy, sinful pit that we read about from Psalm 40. But some of us come from some very bad background who God has delivered us from a pit of life. It can be an addictions. It could have been a terrible self-centered living that hurt many people. But we come in assurance of faith that all our sin, past, present, and even future sins, are dealt with through Christ, Christ alone. So I'm coming in to get near to God. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Sprinkled clean. In Titus 3, we're told, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This spiritual cleansing. Now, the Old Testament guys, high priests, before they went into the temple, they had to take a holy bath before they did their Day of Atonement sacrifice. Now, this is paralleling that we've been cleaned up, all right? So the heart, the whole person is clean, and our body's washed with pure water. That's what's going on when we enter into his presence with confidence. We have this great sacrifice, we have this great high priest, so what? We draw near. This is one artist's rendition of an us drawing near to God. Don't think about it too long. If you don't see it, that's all right. But it's colorful because God's people are a people of color. We come from all nations, all tribes, all peoples. But it's us drawing near with confidence and full assurance of faith. Faith in the Christ whose sacrifice is worthy, who's the high priest that says, come on in, draw near to God. Okay, let's chew on some other lettuce. And this is, hold fast to that confession of your faith, and that confession of our faith is Christ. He's all we need. Let's unpack that a little bit. Let us, here again is the lettuce, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. The confession of our hope without wavering. We've got a grip of it. We're not going to let go. We're holding fast. I watch some of these guys who, when you bring your sailboat to the dock, you jump off the dock, off the boat, onto the dock, and then you moor the boat. You wrap the rope around the little thing there. I forget what the thing's called, and the boat's secure, right? But you don't want to let go of that rope, right? You jump off the boat, and there goes, you don't have the rope. Hey, throw me the rope, so I can dock the boat. But hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And Martin was giving us a good example of, here he is unemployed and not knowing what's next, and holding on. And some of us are having financial challenges right now, and we're holding on. I was with a brother just the other day, and in his prayer he was saying how God comforted him with John 14. Haven't I prepared for you? Don't let your hearts be troubled, for I've gone before you and prepared a place for you. And this place I'm preparing for you, I'm going to come and get you and bring you back there. So in the eternal perspective of things, in that darkest hour we talked about, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I have been privileged as your pastor to know some of you have gone through some really dark times. You've had death hit your family. You've had illnesses, severe illness hit your family. You've had trials at work hit your family. You've had all kinds of tribulations. And some of you know what I'm talking about even now as you're in those periods of darkness. But hold fast the confession of hope without wavering. Now, If there's a world that needs some hope, it's the world we live in. Blessed to be a blessing. All right? We've got this hope we're holding on to, but we got to have a confession. We got to, you know, I told you I was reading a mystery novel and this kind of stuff. And when they get the bad guys, they try to get them to confess, right? You know, and sometimes you hold you in the office with the detectives interviewing you, and it goes on for many hours, and then you finally crack and confess. And it wasn't a real confession. But we're talking about confessing in the sense that it comes out of your life message. You know, this is what I hold on to, and I want you to know it. Some people want us to prove that the scriptures are true. Well, I think every honest question needs an honest answer, and we should do that. We should try to listen to our friends carefully. But you know what I'm confessing is that even I might not be able to convince you that's true, but I want you to know I'm holding on to it, this faith I have in Christ, Christ in me, the hope of glory, that there's more to this life that we see, that the God who is on most high sees everything that's going on in Korea and Pakistan and Mosul, Iraq. Is it Iraq or Iran? Mosul is Iraq, right? Okay. He sees everything. And he's going to come back and judge this whole earth. And then he's going to create a new heaven and earth. And I've got this hope. And my friends will say, well, you're kind of crazy, man. You believe an old book and you think that's true stuff? Yeah, I do. I believe it. What do you believe in? What are you going to do when your breath leaves your nostrils? What's your comfort in life when you lose a loved one who's a little 10-year-old boy? What gets you through it? Well, mine, it is Christ. And Christ is alive by his Spirit. And I'm holding on to that. And it's not just for me. I don't want to boast that I've got a hope and you don't. I want you to have a hope. I want you to understand that there is something to this whole of life that is so grand. He's called Christ. So hold fast this confession of our hope without wavering, no matter how tough it gets. And the reason is, I had to put that big letters, for he promised is faithful. For he who promised is faithful. He told his disciples, look, I've got to go to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. The Gentiles are going to kill me. I'm going to be mocked and ridiculed and I'm going to be crucified. But I'm going to rise again from the third day. Then I want you to go to the mountain. I'll be there and I'll tell you about everything, what you're supposed to do. And he's coming again. For he who promised is faithful. Now, it doesn't mean that he's going to give us everything that we desire and wish in life. But for the eternal, yes, he is. I read this phrase, a government by the people, for the people. How's it go? By the people? Other people, by the people, for the people. And I saw that in my devotional I was reading in Living Life, and I said, well, hold on now. You know, this is what we got in Christ. And it is true that we are saved people to do what? To be part of the family of God and to rule with him. In perfect, sinless righteousness and justice. I mean, we're going to have a great job. It awaits us. He who promises faithful, and he's going to see that he brings me and you and everyone who names the name of Christ through this time of tribulation. Be encouraged, dear one, says Christ. I have overcome the world. We're going to overcome the world and be in the new world, a new heaven, a new life. That's a hope that you and I have for glory, Christ in us. Okay, third lettuce is stir up love and good works. Stir it up in our heart, Lord. Stir it up in our heart. Stir it up. Love and good works. Let's unpack this third type of lettuce here. There it is, and lettuce. Consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I think a passion for your name is this love that we want to have. Remember Christ when he's on the planet, he said, now look, you can take all the law of God, all the commandments, all the precepts, everything about God that's revealed in his word, and it boils down to two things. What? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Love God. And secondly is love others as you love yourself, right? Love people. So love God and love people. So the love here, stir up one another to love in the sense of loving God, having a passion for him and his name and making him known, and good works. And that good works can lead toward what? Toward the works that help other people when we love other people. And that's unlimited in how we can love and show good works to other people. So a passion for God, this vertical, the vertical love, and then the horizontal love is all spreading around. But that's measured more by good works. This past week, I've heard people talk about a church planting project in China we could get involved with. I've heard people talk about how to help our teenagers in the Connect group. I've heard people talk about how to start a boys' club for like the Girls' Gospel Club. We were thinking of something for the Boys' Gospel Club. How is this going to take hold? People doing all kinds of thinking of good works which the church can be involved in different ways. And you know, when we have our special offerings on the first of the month, this is something we're trying to tweak in the bulletin so we can show you how much money you have been giving toward these designated offerings. And our bulletin is a little bit confusing right now when you look at the balance and everything, but we'll work on that on a little better table. But you have been used of the Lord to minister to people in need. Whether it's people who need the word of God in their mother tongue in a very practical way, they're illiterate and they need to listen to it, or if it's people who need, one family need to be relocated to the UK, people who need food. You have done this. You have done good works, and we need to stir ourselves up to do more good works, right? So let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. Part of Christmas and the hospitality thing, that was a good work. Kids in the park, these events are good work. Mission opportunities are good works. But you know, in your daily life, good works stir each other up. You know, James, that person really needs somebody to pray with. I would encourage you to go have a cup of coffee and just sit down and talk to him. You know, encourage each other to do good works, not neglecting to meet, as is the habit of some. Not neglecting to meet. You know anybody like that? I know some. I'm looking around to see if they're here. No. No, occasionally that does happen in this community of faith, and it hurts, you know. I don't take it personally. Actually, you know, if you feel more at peace going to another church and feel part of that church family, that's fine, as long as you're not forsaking yourself to meet with other Christians. Not neglecting to meet together, as is in the habit of some, and as David Leung prayed this morning for our men and women's small groups, you know, that's why we get together, is we don't neglect those things. In our little discipleship group on Saturday, if the guys can't come, they always tell me why they can't come. You know, they want me to be known that, yeah, I value this time, but I can't make it because of this reason. Mostly it's work. Sometimes it's good things like running in the charity race yesterday. How many of you ran yesterday? A few of you guys, right? Yeah. Nadine, did you raise your hand? But anyway, a lot of us ran yesterday, but not me. Okay. Not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some, and you can meet together before your race. You can meet together after your race. You can meet together any time in an unstructured way. But don't neglect to meet with each other. But you can meet in structured ways, more so in discipleship, small groups. You got maybe a prayer partner. By the way, guys, men, if you're free on Tuesday or Friday mornings, we do have these open groups. Tuesday at McDonald's, 7 a.m., and Friday, 7 a.m. at Pacific Coffee. Martin Ray and I are down there on Fridays, and Tom Young and I are on Tuesdays. So any of you men who feel a very need, I just want to be with some brothers to be encouraged, to pray for them, to just to get together, to know each other a little bit beyond just coming on Sunday. Those are opportunities for you to get together. But we get together, why? To encourage one another. Press on, you know, it's hard life. It's hard times, whether it's societal problems or your personal problems. We want to encourage you. We want to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged to press on and to keep looking and drawing near to God, holding on to my faith, and of course, loving Him and loving others and doing good work. So to encourage one another. Big letters again. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is that day? Now, if you got your Bibles before you, you can see that where we're going to go next week is it will talk about that day. But what do you think that day is? Somebody help me out. Yeah, the second coming, the day of judgment. All right. I don't know of anybody saying the day's farther away than it was yesterday, right? So at least 24 hours closer, right? But I think that day is drawing closer. I mean, how terrible can we make this world than what it is right now? War, pollution. I'm not a doomsayer. I don't foresee Christ coming this month. I mean, He could. We should be ready and live as if He could come tonight. But this world is in pretty tough shape. You consider the evil and how it's expressed in different ways. So all the more as you see the day drawing near, stir one another up, meet together, and encourage one another. Let's put some application onto this. Let us pray and be a people of faith. That's verse 22. We draw near to God with full assurance of faith. I know Marilee and I, we're involved in a lot of different small groups, but we've learned by now that we can't neglect prayer, the importance of prayer in our small group. We can have a teacher's lesson plan in our mind what we want to get through today, but if I get through my lesson plan and I've ignored someone in the group that has a real pressing need or something they need to be prayed for, we can lose it. All right, and yeah, we're not perfect. I know Marilee and I aren't, and we drop the ball sometimes. We don't pray like we should in our small group times. But to keep that balance, it's a challenge, right? So we try to make sure that in our groups, we're praying. That's us. Let us draw near to God. Let us. And I think individually, we should be worshiping God daily, and that's our devotional life. That's very important. But couples, let us. Bonnie and I, we need to draw close to Christ in prayer. But as a congregation, how can we do that? Koreans are pretty good at it. Boy, they had a big prayer meeting in Seoul the other day, 1 million people, right? They're praying that there'll be a political change in their company. I mean, it makes it look like nothing. Over in Oakland, California, 7,000 people take to the street and protest against our president-elect Donald Trump. And they're not, neither one of these groups, I don't think, are really meaning to have prayer. But in Seoul, there is a church, and let's see if I can pronounce it right. Myeongseong, I don't know. It's a Presbyterian church, that's why I know about it. And it has 120,000 members, and every day, 7 days a week, you talk about meeting frequently, or 7 days a week, they have four prayer services in the morning. And so I'm going to guess now, if there's 120,000 people, if you get 10% of your congregation on normal to go to a prayer meeting, you've done a good job. So let's say 10% of 120,000, do the math, we get 12,000 people. Okay, 12,000 people a day going to pray for Korea and Seoul. How many cameras are on that one? There's one big camera on it. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord, to do what? To draw near to God in prayer as a church family. I have no idea what that might look like. But one thing we elders came up with on our recent retreat is we got to have prayer concerts more. Yeah. Calm down, Natalie. All right. So, yeah, at least once a month, right? That's a start. If you want to, we can start 6 a.m. prayer meetings five days a week. But no, when the Spirit of God is moving, there will be prayer. So let us be a people of faith together who draw near to God. And one thing why do we draw near to God? For grace and mercy. It's one of the biggest things. You know, we worship Him for who He is, and we talk about Him being majestic and all this and stuff, and how beautiful You are. And I try to, you know, I don't know. I have a daughter in my house who likes beauty and expressing it in art and fashion. And you know, Ruth, you know what I'm talking about. And when I look at, you know, you might make this comment, that's a beautiful woman, this is a beautiful guy, you know, a handsome man, whatever. You think of beauty, and when you think of the Lord and His beauty, what do you say? Oh, doesn't He have such a good complexion? What are you thinking of when you think of the beauty of God? You know what I think of? Here's this almighty, most high God, and He's going to take my old, ugly sin and make it clean. That's a beautiful thing. You have a patient in the hospital. If you've ever worked ER and you get these guys who've been through car wrecks and they got one scratch cut all over the place, and then here comes these medical caregivers there to give help. That's beautiful. So let us be a people of prayer and don't it doesn't matter, you know, how ugly we have been toward one another or towards other people, but we're going to go to grace together, and that's what we worship God for. Okay. This is a sensitive thing. Well, okay, it's just coming up, two of them together. Let us confess a people of hope. So we're a people of faith, this in Christ, and confess is how are we going to get out there and tell the world and our friends of hope? How do we give them hope? Many of us have had training in how to share our faith with others. We call that evangelism, right? So we've had evangelistic training. Not all of us, but many of us have. Sometimes we use this fancy word called apologetics. How do we give an apology? How do we give a reasonable argument for why you should consider faith? Now, some of us have had that training. But again, you don't have to. All you have to do is just talk about your hope to your friend. When you listen to their story that they're having, you say, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but could I pray with you? I used to, I when I worked among just Chinese people here in the city, I quit using that, may I pray for you. I said, come on, let's pray. And I would pray, and this is the first time most of them have ever experienced somebody praying. And they're going to think of me, well, James is really crazy. Or they're going to think, well, maybe he's not crazy, but he's a sincere person about his faith. So take a chance. You don't have to be the most biblical, knowledgeable person, but take a chance, put your arm around your friend and say, let's pray. See where it takes you. If it takes you down a bad road, let me know and we'll talk about it. But may we be confessing, letting people know of our faith and of our hope. And there's many ways we can do that better as a church and in different groups of people. But may we confess. Let us stir a people to love and good works. Meet and encourage daily. I find that it's really good to look at the week window and who you're meeting with and to meet with somebody every day. And if it's not convenient, at least you got your husband and wife. You can meet together and encourage each other to love and good works. Do that. But if you find yourself, you know, as a couple and you're not on the same wavelength here, that's where you need another friend to meet with and to stir up this love for Christ and a love for good works. Something I want to tell you today, and that was how to respond to the presidential election in the United States. Okay, I want to encourage you on how to love. Okay, I want to stir up a little love here. Already getting touching Martin. Okay. Not everyone in this room respects Donald Trump, and you have your reasons. Not every voter in the United States who voted in that election for sure respects Donald Trump. And some of the anger you see on the streets is a reflection of that lack of respect, that it's more like hatred. And some of us who are U.S. citizens here, some of us voted for Trump, some of us didn't vote for Trump. I have some dear friends who have voted for Donald Trump. I personally did not. And I could stand here in my holiness and think I'm better than they are, but that's not the way it is. The way it is to, I didn't vote for Hillary either, by the way. Where I'm getting at is you and I can bring hope into the situation. We can bring comfort if we let the light of God just shine in our hearts. In Titus 3, we're told, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities. Now remember, Paul is training Titus to be a pastor. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So as I read that this week and was responding, you know, I know some of my relatives who were anti-Trump. How do I respond to them? With courtesy and prayerfulness. In 1 Timothy 2 says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and pleasing in the sight of God. So America needs our prayers. They're a divided country. And yeah, I know there's reasons. and it's complicated issues. But I think a way you can show your faith in Christ is to encourage our friends who are non-Christians that Donald Trump is not just a joke, but he's someone we need to pray for. So I'm going to stir you up to pray, and I'm going to close this in prayer for the United States. And but I want to tell you, the greatest nation on earth is the people of God, the people who draw near through faith in the Christ. That is the great nation. And it goes beyond politics and geographical bounds. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for DBICC church family, and it's so good to come here every Sunday and to hear songs and sing songs that encourage us. And some of us are, and it encourages us to love one another and to leave this place to do good works. Father, I think one way that you're impressing upon me, and none of us really thought the election would turn out this way in some ways, and yet there's others who've told me, yeah, I had a vision from God that this was going to happen, and I've been praying this way, and I've received all kinds of things. Well, one thing is for sure from your word, that we are to be respectful, and we're not to quarrel, and we're to be courteous in our speech, but we're to pray. And so I pray for the peace, and not to be, how can I say, myopic and just look at USA. There's peace that's needed desperately in Korea, a distrust in their government. And I pray for my Korean brothers and sisters to be respectful in how they talk about political leaders. Lord, I know that in the Word of God, as we see David praying, he calls his enemies what they are, wicked people, but they were actually seeking to kill him, and very wicked people, and I can't put those type of labels on people who hold different political opinions. I don't think that's the right way of using your Word. But I do pray for this transition period in the United States, for what's going to appear to be a transition coming for Korea. May it be peaceful. Father God, I thank you for my friends here and teaching us how to love you in spirit and in truth, how to be a people of prayer, how to be a people who hold fast to our confession and stir each other up to good works. So continue to stir us up in this day. Natalie tapped me on the shoulder and said, be sure to pray for Martin and Sandy. I thought I did already, but I'll pray again. They're a great couple, Lord. And we thank you for them. Make their marriage stronger in you. We pray for Ben and John, and like similar to my prayers for David and Joseph, my sons, that these will become men of God and give them the hope they need, how to go forward. I think I've prayed enough right now, Lord, but thank you again. You're our high priest. And may we live like we have a high priest. In Christ's name, amen.